fourth case. Soboliva versus Holder, 13-3651. And Mr. Yerman, if I've mispronounced your client's name, please correct me. Thank you.
May it please the court, Gary Yerman on behalf of petitioners. Your Honors, in this case, the BIA erred in its decision on their political asylum application based upon three issues. First, the BIA concluded that the petitioner failed to demonstrate that the incidents she suffered in 2009 and 2010 rose to the level of persecution. Second, the BIA, by determining that petitioner's abuse in 2010 did not occur as a result of a protected ground, is legal error. And third, the board erred in failing to conclude that petitioner demonstrated a reasonable possibility existed that she would suffer persecution if she were returned to Belarus based upon her political activities. The BIA simply ignored case precedent in this circuit by failing to conduct a proper analysis of the mixed motives the persecutors had during the events that took place in 2009-2010. In 2009, the petitioner alleged during a peaceful protest, the Belarus riot police came down and started clubbing the protesters. One time during this incident, she was hit over the head, causing a bloody nose. She was shoved to the ground, where a police officer then subsequently took her and threw her into the bus and used their feet to create more room. Okay. Then she was detained for 15 hours. She was interrogated, and she was improperly handled. She was a member of a party, a political party, that is against the ruling party in Belarus. Then 6 months later, in May of 2010, while returning from another political activity, the respondent and two of her friends were stopped by police to ask for ID. When the petitioner spoke up to the officer in a way that the officer did not appreciate, the other officer that was with them took the petitioner, threw her up against the wall, threw her head up against the wall, causing her to become unconscious.
Didn't the IJ find that she grabbed at her identification papers?
What she did, Your Honor, and if you...
What did the IJ find?
The IJ found that she was impetulant by putting her hands in front of the passport, saying, are you going to arrest me or are you going to give me back the passport? So then she was thrown up against the wall where she was knocked unconscious, and she later found out while she was unconscious, one of these police officers were kicking her while she was on the ground, causing her to have to seek medical treatment.
Mr. Yerman, as I'm sure you're aware, these immigration cases reviewing asylum applications where the issue is whether the mistreatment rises to the level of persecution involves some very difficult questions. We've referred to it as the fine parsing of misery and cruelty in a prior case. My concern here is a little bit different. I'm taking off from what you've argued. And my concern is not that the IJ and BIA failed to comply with the law of our circuit, but my concern is that they may have paid too much attention to the law of our circuit and applied the wrong standard of review. Let me tell you why. In a case called Sirbu against Holder, S-I-R-B-U, 718 F3rd 655, the immigration judge and BIA cited a number of Seventh Circuit cases to say the mistreatment, and it was actually out of Moldova, where your other client is from.
My husband, yes.
The IJ and BIA said in that case, in essence, here are some Seventh Circuit cases that show this doesn't rise to the level of persecution. And the legal error that was made in that case was that the Seventh Circuit cases that were cited didn't make that finding as if it were the first instance. They were instead dealing with the question, does this evidence, quote, compel a finding of persecution? We defer to the BIA and the immigration judge in making that evaluation. There's a gray area where reasonable people can differ, and we're supposed to defer to the BIA's and IJ's decision about that. But if the BIA and IJ are saying, in essence, we're going to follow Seventh Circuit case law that applies the compels a finding standard, then they're not exercising the discretion that they're supposed to exercise. And as I read the IJ's opinion and the BIA's opinion here, that seems to be what has happened. Dandan, for example, is followed by the IJ.
Right.
Well, Dandan didn't say this wasn't persecution. It said a finding is not compelled. And that's a legal error under Serbu.
Right, and I agree with the court's analysis and what the IJ basically did and the BIA did in supplementing this decision is just you used the wrong checklist. Okay? There are mixed motive analysis. There are reasonable possibility analysis of future fear. There are facts that were left out in the IJ's decision. For example, when the IJ said there was no evidence that what occurred in May of 2010 was a result of political opinion. Because the petitioner never mentioned anything during the police stop during her testimony. That's incorrect. If you go to the record, AR, page 129 of the record, you will see the petitioner testified that it may have been because of her political activities. What else could it have been? She was wearing a shirt with political prisoners pinned onto her shirt as a political speech, as a political activist, as a dissident to the current ruling power.
The IJ, if I recall correctly, the BIA said, well, but her friends were only fined.
Right.
And that's some sort of indication that this wasn't political. Do we know what they were fined for?
Exactly, that begs the question. What could they have possibly been fined for when all they did was being stopped on the way home from a protest and show their ID? What else could it have possibly been? Which begs the question, what else was the reason, could have possibly been the reason they asked the petitioner to show up in court? Is it possible that they're going to punish her more severely? I assert yes, and that's why I assert there is a reasonable possibility of future fear. So I'm going to, unless the court has any questions, I'm going to step back, I'm going to let the government speak, and then I'll wrap up my argument.
All right, thank you, Mr. Yerman. Ms. Murley?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Nicole Murley, and I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General. This is an immigration case where the record evidence does not compel reversal of the agency's findings that petitioner failed to meet her burden of establishing she suffered past persecution or had a well-founded fear of future persecution, where substantial evidence supports the Board's decision. It supports the Board's conclusion that petitioner failed to establish, one, that her arrest in 2009 did not rise to the level of persecution, that her incident with the police in 2010 did not occur on account of her political opinion, and three, that she failed to establish that she had a well-founded fear of future persecution if returned to Belarus. I'd like to turn first to the October 2009 arrest and the issue the Court raised with the Board and whether the Board circularly followed this court's decisions. And government submits that the board made an independent determination based on the facts of this case that was presented. A reading of the board's decision says the board discusses how there is no determinative definition of persecution. The board says they do not quantify any particular level of harm. And as this court has noted, that the INA, neither the INA nor the board or this court definitively defines persecution. So it's made on a case-by-case determination. While the board cites this circuit's case law, it does not cite it definitively to say one is or one is not what is or what is not persecution, but to add information as an informative analysis to support what its findings are. And these are cases that were before the board where the board had considered the harm and the incidences prior to appeal.
You follow the concern that I'm raising.
I understand.
About the kind of one-way ratchet effect that develops if the level for compelling a finding then becomes the level for permitting a finding of persecution, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what confidence do we have here, since the board is citing cases that did or did not find a finding of persecution compelled? Stanoshkova said it was compelled in that case, and Zava said it is not. What confidence do we have that the board was avoiding the error I've described?
Well, I think a plain reading of the board's decision that it uses the correct analysis, which is a substantial evidence standard before it. It says she did not meet her burden of establishing the harm that she suffered in 2010 was on account of. It recites the facts as the immigration judge found them, as petitioner presented them.
And says, those are the facts. We say that's not enough, citing Stanishkova and Nzeva, two cases. Well, Stanishkova doesn't really help. Nzeva says being beaten with batons, kicked, struck with the butt of a gun, and threatened does not compel holding that such harm rises to the level of persecution, but it obviously permits that finding, right?
It would.
So how can we be confident the board was attentive to this issue?
The issue of compel versus substantial evidence. I think a plain reading of the board's decision, where it goes through the facts of each case and talks about that she uses the correct standards and explains that she did not meet her burden of establishing that harm arises to past persecution, and it discusses why it found that. It explains that petitioner, the board notes that the harm or the incident in 2009, while condemnable, does not rise to the level of past persecution. There's no absence of analysis by the board of that harm.
Is that analysis?
Well, it's
condemnable. This isn't enough. See Stanishkova and Nizeva. How's that analysis? If it's not drawing on the is a finding compelled standard.
Prior to the paragraph, the board recites the facts
right
as found and says this is the evidence that petitioner presented. Petitioner has to meet her burden before the agency. And here, this is what petitioner presented, and that this does not rise to the level of persecution. And the board says C, and it cites cases from this circuit as an example of cases where the analysis is discussed of past persecution.
The IJ built his analysis, or her analysis, I don't remember, on the comparison to the Dandan case.
Mm-hmm.
And that poses exactly the same problem. Let me ask, if I could, a separate question, Ms. Murley. On the second incident in 2010, where the board said, however awful it may have been, we aren't convinced that it was politically motivated, what's your explanation for why the friends were fined, if not for political opposition?
Before the agency, petitioner bears the burden of establishing that she met her burden of proof. And here, the only evidence in the record is her testimony and her statement with the application that they were fined. Petitioner's own testimony with regard to why she was in fact summoned, she said, I don't know. It could be that my behavior that day because I grabbed my passport. So petitioner here There's no objective evidence as to why they were fined for being stopped.
The objective evidence is we know this is a government that's fairly oppressive. They were exhibiting political opposition in their dress. They were coming home from a demonstration. And they were fined for no apparent reason while their friend was knocked unconscious and kicked. There's no other apparent explanation for this, is there?
There's no evidence that they were fined because they were coming home from the political activity. Petitioner was pushed. They were not questioned about their political activity that day. They were not at the protest when they were stopped.
But their IDs were checked.
Which is common.
Which is enough to find a prior record, right? We do that in the United States.
As petitioner testified, it is common in Belarus to be stopped and asked for identification because it's illegal to not have your identification on you.
And to be fined if you have your identification?
We don't know why they were fined.
Can I ask also about the follow-up of this? The evidence was that Ms. Sobolova's mother has been visited every couple of weeks, and that the police have been contacting her employer trying to get her fired because of her daughter's support for the political opposition, right?
Petitioner's mother has been visited because she failed to appear for her summons. And
right.
She's not submitted
every
evidence.
Couple of weeks?
She's not submitted evidence that they've questioned her about her daughter's political activity or that that was
talking
a motivation for the summons.
Wouldn't it be kind of highly unusual to try so hard to deal with somebody for just a simple failure to appear for this kind of very trivial offense?
Well, again, based on the record evidence and petitioner's testimony, she speculates why she received a summons.
Well, look, I mean, she's been found credible. And when there's no apparent legitimate explanation for this kind of harassment, whether it rises to the level of persecution, when there's no apparent legitimate reason for this kind of degree of attention, why isn't it reasonable to at least consider the possibility that it's politically motivated?
Here, petitioner testified that she was not at the site of the political activity. She had taken a train with her friends away. They were
still wearing her T-shirt, right?
Wearing her T-shirt, stopped by the police and asked for identification. Neither of her friends were questioned about their political activities that day. Neither was petitioner, according to her testimony. And here, where you have facts and the board decides that it's not, that she has not met her burden, the standard before this court is whether or not the evidence compels reversal and not whether an adjudicating body could find a different...
But it's also whether the board gave fair and reasoned consideration to the evidence, right?
Whether substantial evidence supports the board's decision. In here, the board's reading of the board's decision, the immigration judge's decision, is that they considered petitioner's testimony and the evidence she presented and found that she did not meet her burden of establishing past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution if returned to Belarus. And the record does not compel reversal. Petitioner has not demonstrated that it does. Any further questions?
See none?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Yerman.
Your Honor, as the court appropriately stated, the petitioner was found to be credible. So everything that's in the record is to be viewed as credible regarding the incidents of the arrest, the incidents of protest, and her mother, and them looking and the police looking for her. This court has stated that someone who campaigns against the government and urges the voters to throw the rascals out is engaged in political speech. Musa Bello versus Gonzalez, 442 Fed 3rd, 991. The BIA has stated in JBN, the BIA has cautioned that an applicant does not bear an unreasonable burden of establishing a persecutor's exact motivation, and that mixed motive can be established by testimonial evidence. The testimony evidence is clear. The petitioner is a political activist. She is a dissident, and what do governments do to dissidents? They suppress them. This isn't a law school hypothetical. These are two human beings. And I would caution them, the court, to send immigration send them back to Belarus, where even more harm can become the petitioner and her husband. She did not, isn't it more, what's the word I'm looking for, candid that the petitioner stated, I'm not sure why they stopped us. I'm not sure why they were doing what they did. Instead of fabricating or embellishing, she was speaking about her personal beliefs. She doesn't know why after the stop. Her head was smashed into a wall and she was repeatedly kicked. But the evidence does point to why. And it's because the police were motivated against her political activities. So we would urge this court to remand the case back to the BIA and ask them to conduct a reasoned analysis that comports with this circuit precedent and the BIA's precedent.
Right.
And lastly, I would point to page 423 of the record, where the 2009 Human Rights Report on Belarus state the following. The Belarus Committee for State Security, the KGB riot police, and other security forces continued to routinely beat detainees and demonstrators. Police beat individuals during arrests and in detention for organizing or participating in demonstrations or other opposition activities. The petitioner, does have a reasonable possibility of future persecution. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to both counsel, and this case will be under advisement as well.